I feel like that I had as much liberty preaching on that television program this morning dealing with Christ our King, as much liberty as I think I've ever enjoyed preaching. I just feel like that message is the message that this generation needs desperately to hear. It's a 28-minute message from Psalm 2 on Christ our only King. Now, I feel like it needs to be distributed. I feel like people need to hear it. And if you want to secure copies of it, I'm piling work on you, Brother Ronnie, but you love it, don't you? You see Ronnie for that tape. He has the tape, the audio tape, Christ is King. And it just wouldn't hurt to lay that on somebody's desk or in somebody's lap or put it in somebody's hand and say, this is what I believe. I'm not being contentious or troublesome, or I'm just telling you this is what God's Word teaches. And this is good news. Boy, I'm glad He's in charge. I know who's in charge, and that gives me great comfort and peace. I know who's on the throne. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He pleased. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, earth, and the seas, all deep places. And even the king's, this is scripture, even the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. He'll turn it whithersoever He will. These kings and leaders and presidents make decisions, but I'll tell you who made it before they did. That's what that says, the king's heart. Not his army, his heart is in the hands of the Lord, who turns it whithersoever He will. There's nothing left to chance and fate that concerns His people. Nothing left to fate or chance or luck that concerns His church. Because all things, we know this, work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. He King. Absolute, eternal, always has been, is now, always will be. All right. There's no chapter in the Bible which sets forth the importance of faith, believe in God, like this chapter I just read. Look at verse 6. It says, even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. There's perhaps no man mentioned in Scripture. No man, quite as often as Abraham. There's no man mentioned in Scripture quite like Abraham, called the friend of God. What a title. Abraham, God says, is my friend. And I speak to Abraham as a man would speak to his friend. And his chief testimony, his chief characteristic, you know what it was? He believed God. That's right. He believed God. That was the chief testimony concerning Enoch. He had this testimony. He pleased God. How did he please God? He walked with God by faith. He had this testimony. He believed God. Look at verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which everybody here this morning that is of faith, that believes God, everyone is a child of Abraham. They're children of Abraham. I know the Muslims and Islams claim to be the sons of Abraham, but they're not. And even Israel over there in the what they call the Holy Land claims to be the children of Abraham, but they're not. It says here in verse 7, they which are of faith, they are the children of Abraham. And whether they're Jew or Gentile or male or female or bond or free or whatever nationality, they're the children of Abraham. Let me show you that in the book of Romans, chapter 4. Those people who believe God. Romans chapter 4. And God may, in days to come, have something else he'll do to and with Israel. I don't know. Romans 11 has a lot to say about that. But right now, in unbelief, they're children of wrath, even as others. What we were one time, children of wrath, even as others. They're not children of Abraham. Romans 4, verse 16, listen. Therefore, this business is of faith, that it might be by grace free. To the end, the goal, that the promise might be sure. To all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, not to that only which is the natural seed of Abraham, which is Ishlam. Abraham had two sons. He had Isaac, the promised seed, and he had the wild man Bob preached on not long ago, Ishmael, Isaac and Ishmael. And that's the folks fighting over there now, Isaac and Ishmael and their descendants, you know. But he had a lot of other sons, too, and they all fight. They're all natural sons of Abraham, a whole bunch of them. Abraham didn't just have, he had those two representatives, but he had many sons, and they're all battling. But they're not the spiritual children of Abraham. They're not children of the promise. It says here in Romans 4:16, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed of Abraham, not to that only which is of the law, Ishlam, Israel, but to that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of all of us who believe. The father of all who believe. Now that's perfectly clear. I look back here at our text, chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 8. And the scripture, the word of God in the Old Testament, foreseeing, prophesying, foreordaining that God would justify the heathen. That's us, Gentiles. We're not natural seed of Abraham. We're Gentiles. And the scriptures foreseeing and foreordaining that God would not only save David and Abraham and Moses and Aaron and Isaiah and those Jews, but he's going to reveal the gospel to the Gentiles, the heathen, and they'll be justified through faith. Justified not by faith. We're justified by Christ, by his death and blood, but we're justified by Christ through faith. That's right. He preached before the gospel to Abraham. You mean Abraham heard the gospel? Why, certainly. Moses wrote of me. Christ said, Abraham saw my day. He saw it and rejoiced. He was glad. He saw my day. He said, son, God will provide himself a lamb. It's going to be a lamb down on a cross. That's God's son. That's what Abraham said. Even the old Jews had the gospel preached to them. Paul said that in Hebrews. They had the gospel preached to them. The Passover lamb was the gospel. The serpent lifted up was the gospel. The smitten rock was the gospel. That rock is Christ. That Passover was Christ. But it didn't profit them. Why? They didn't believe. It wasn't mixed with faith. That was the whole thing. Abraham's sole characteristic that pleased God was he believed God. That's right. And the sole judgment upon any man is he doesn't believe God. That's right. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not will be damned. That's the dividing point. And he said to Abraham, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. He said that when Abraham was 75 years old, living in a land of idolaters with his daddy and his brother. And God called Abraham out. Turn to Genesis chapter 12, and here's the beginning of the whole thing. Back there, all those years in the past, way back to Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. God called Abraham out of idolatry. And the Lord said to him in Genesis 12, verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram, Abram was his name, God changed it to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from your kindred, idol worshippers, from your father's house, the land I'll show you, I'll make of thee a great nation. And I bless thee, and I make thy name great, and I shall be a blessing. I think that great nation is Israel at that time. But I'm going to bless them that bless you, and I'm going to curse them that curse you. And here's the promise. Here's the gospel he revealed to Abraham concerning the Gentiles. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You know there's going to be somebody in heaven out of every family? All families. Out of all tribes, there's a lot of tribes. All kindreds, all nations, going to be somebody in heaven. That's right, in Christ. That's right. They'll be there. All, these shall all the nations. So then, verse 9, look at verse 9. Verse 9. So then, they which be of faith, they're blessed with Abraham. What was Abraham blessed with? Righteousness. Perfect, absolute, immaculate, infinite holiness. Acceptance with God so that God said, he's my friend. He's my friend. I show you that in Romans 4. Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 begins this way, talking about Abraham. So then what I'm saying here now, they that be of faith, they that believe God, right here this morning, Jew, Gentile, bond, free, male or female, who be of faith, who believe God, are blessed with Abraham. Everything he's blessed with, they're blessed with. Everything he is, they are. Everything he has, they have. Now Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. But what said the Scripture? Here it is. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him, imputed is the word, reckoned is the word unto him for righteousness. Now look at the last four verses of chapter 4 of Romans. Stay in Romans chapter 4. He believed God. Look at verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, nor yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith, believing God, giving God the glory. And he was fully persuaded. Now remember this verse, that what God said, what God promised, that's that promise we've been talking about in Christ before the world began. What God promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness, holiness, acceptance of God. Now then, watch this. It wasn't written for his sake alone that this holiness and righteousness was imputed, reckoned, given to him by faith. For us also, to whom it shall be imputed, charged, reckoned, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Can you believe God? If you can believe God, you have a perfect holiness and righteousness in the sight of God by faith. That's what Abraham had. That's what he found. That's what he had. And back to my text in Galatians 3, so then, they that be of faith, they're blessed with faithful Abraham. Now look at verse 11. But no man's justified. Justified, you know what justified means? It means to be without guilt, not guilty. Then it means to be without sin, to be justified. Then it means to be righteous. And that's what Abraham was. He was justified. He was righteous and holy before God, just as if I had never sinned. It's not justification. To be justified is not just to be forgiven. You can forgive a guilty man. He's still guilty. It's not to be pardoned only. You can pardon a man, but he's still guilty. He's still got a record. But when a man is justified before the law apologizes to him and says, you're not guilty. We have no business with you. Now, that's what Abraham had, and that's what you have by faith, justified. But he says here in verse 11, no man, no human being is justified by the law in the sight of God. Now, he can justify himself by his law, by his moral obedience to the law, by his deeds and duties and all these moral deeds and so forth, outwardly. He can justify himself before men. They think, oh, he's such a good man. They can't see his heart. All they see is his deeds. And he can justify himself before men. And he can justify himself to his own satisfaction. He can say, like the Pharisee, I thank God, I'm not like you fellas. I'm not like you fellas. I'm not like that publican. I'm a good man. He convinced himself he was a good man. And folks around him believed he was. They couldn't see his heart. Couldn't see his heart. He said, he was justified by what he did. That's what he said. But no man's justified by what he does. He says, I give alms, I pray, I fast. I don't commit adultery, I'm not unjust. I'm justified. No, you're not. In your eyes you are, before men you are, before God you're a stinker. You're a sinner. You're guilty. That's right. So no man's justified by the law. Now stay with me. In the sight of God, it's evident that just shall live by faith. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Peter said. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ the Lord. All right, Pastor, got a question. Let's get this straight now, once and for all. Are you saying that there will be no person in the kingdom of God except those who are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who redeemed by his sacrifice on Calvary, who by the elective grace of God and by the quickening work of the Holy Spirit and by the call of the gospel, and by faith, through faith, believe him. There'll be nobody in heaven but those who are in Christ. That's exactly what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. And that's where the kingdom of God is, in the sight of God. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's the kingdom of his dear Son. That's what it's called. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is the kingdom of his dear Son. Their soul being the same thing. And that's what Scripture says. And I know that that's unpopular now, but that's what the Bible says. And I know even some high, powerful preachers and evangelists and pastors and all are making room in God's kingdom for people who don't know Christ, who don't love Christ, who don't believe Christ, who are trying to gain access to that kingdom by what they do and who they are and their religious works. But the Scripture, listen to these Scriptures. Our Lord gathered his apostles about him after he rose from the grave, and he said, now you go into all the world and preach the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, Paul said, the gospel I preached unto you is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and rose again according to the Scripture. You preach that gospel, and he that believes it and is baptized will be saved. He that doesn't believe it will be damned. That's what Christ said. Now, can I say anything else but what Christ said and be a minister of Christ and be true to the Word and be honest to you? Can I stand up here and say he didn't mean that? He told them, he said, you preach the gospel. And you know what the gospel is, Christ. And he that believeth is saved. He that believeth not be damned. What about this verse here? Listen to this. Let me just read it to you. I can turn to it quickly. Christ speaking again. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall never see life. the wrath of God abideth on him. We just say what he said. What about that verse I preached on recently when he said, I'm from above, you're from the earth, from beneath. I'm from heaven, you're from the earth. And if you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, you can't come where I am. If you believe not that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you're going to die in your sins. This, our Lord said that. And if you die in unbelief, you cannot come where I am. You can't come where I am. That's, you're out. Where you go, that's another matter, but you can't come where I am. I just don't see how. And the disciples said to him, Lord, we know not where you go. He said, I go back to my Father. I came from God to go back to God. Heaven. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about paradise. They said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Now listen. He said to them, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm life. If you have that, you have all the person needs. The way to God, the truth of God, the life of God. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John wrote before he closed his epistle, first epistle, he said, this is the record. You know, people speak off the record. It's not worth much. When they speak off the record, they're hiding something, you know, usually. This is the record, John said. God hath given us eternal life. This life's in his Son. And he that hath the Son of God hath life. You have the Son of God, you have life. You have the Son of God, you have life. You have the Son of God, you have life. Eternal life. The life of God. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The song of heaven. I want to read you something here. The song of heaven. I'll just turn to it quickly and read it to you. The song of heaven of universal glory and praise is unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's one voice, one tongue. Listen to it. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us to God. Now this is every voice, that multitude in heaven, every voice, a number no man can number. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And you, Jesus Christ, hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we'll reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of angels, the beast, the 24 elders, now the angels, round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and 1,000 and 1,000. They cried with a loud voice, every one of them, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing. And listen, and every creature, come on now, listen, every creature which is in heaven, every creature which is on the new earth, which is in the sea, and all that in them, every creature heard our saying with one voice, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, to the Lamb of God forever and ever. I rest my case. Are you saying, Brother Mayhem, there'll be no person in heaven except those who are redeemed by Jesus Christ? That's exactly what this book says. Every creature in heaven, earth, or under the earth, in the seas, the dolphins, will be praising him. All right, I'm closing with this. My definition of faith. I take it from Paul's definition in 2 Timothy 1:9, 1:12. Faith is to believe God. Not believe there is a God. The devil believes there is a God and trembles. Scripture says, you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes and trembles. Everybody believes there's one God. Who doesn't believe on Christ is in company with the devil. That's what he believes. That's his doctrine. And that's the doctrine he presents to this earth. No Christ, no Messiah. Faith is to believe God. It's to believe God when he speaks. Not just to believe on him, it's to believe him. It's to believe God when he speaks. He spoke to our fathers by the prophets. He's spoken to us by his son. He spoke to us in the scriptures, and he spoke to us by his son. His word is his written word and his incarnate word. And it's to believe God, the written word. And I'm telling you this, and I'm going to bring you a message on it in a few weeks. There's some translations now out that do damage to the Word of God. One of them's the NIV. That's the most popular translation out today, being switched by many churches. It's not going to switch here. You're going to stay with the King James that was translated by 46 of the most able men God raised up 400 years ago. It's been the accepted Word of God in God's true believers, church, and preachers for 400 years. And some of these Bibles have taken out some key verses. You don't see it just glancing through. You don't see it till you start comparing them. They leave it out. I'm going to show you that. That there is to believe his word as it's been given to us. There are more translations in the King James. The Geneva Bible, there's there were several translations around 1535 from the original. From the received text, the original text in Hebrew and Greek. There were several. Luther translated the Bible in 1500 and something and for the German people. And Tyndale, is that his name? Tyndale translated the Bible in 1536 or 37, somewhere in there, and they burned him at the stake. Catholic Church burned him at the stake for translating the Bible into English. Wycliffe translated it a year, two, or three later. But I'm going to bring you a message on that to show you that for your good and the good of your children and the preaching of the gospel, you better stay with this Bible right here, the King James Bible. It's the best translation. That's just so. And to believe God is to believe his word. It's to believe his word. It's not to contradict it and debate it and say, well, I don't understand it, so it can't be so. Well, that was the way they did it in that day. This is God's word. And to believe God is to believe it. And his son is called his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. You see, words. Why was Christ called the word? Words are vehicles of communication. You can't communicate without words. Well, you can sign, you're signing words. You can write, you're writing words. You've got to have words. No man knoweth the things that are in a man except that man, unless he conveys it to you by word. And you're not going to know God and the heart of God and the purpose of God till he conveys it to you by word. And Christ is called the Word because he's the one who communicates God to us and reveals God to us. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, he to whom the Son reveal him. How does he reveal him? By words, 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 words. Here, the Word of God. And that was Abraham's whole foundation of faith. God's promise, God's word, God's word, God's word written, God's word incarnate. Secondly, to believe God, to faith is to trust him. It's to trust him. Rely on him and commit myself to him. Lock, stock, and barrel. All I am and have committed to our Lord. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him. That's trust. Abraham trusted God when he left home at 75. Abraham trusted God when God promised him a son. 100 years old, but against all hope, he hoped. Abraham trusted God when he gave the well-watered plains to Lot and headed for the mountain. Abraham trusted God when he took his son, the miracle son, the son of promise, and put him on an altar and raised the knife to offer him as a sacrifice. He trusted in God. You know what he said? He accounted that God was able to raise him from the dead if God commanded his death. And God said, Abraham, don't touch the lad. I know you love me. And that's when God says, I make my promise to you and confirm it with an oath. Remember that in Genesis 22? That's when he said, I confirm it. Trust him. Job said, though he slay me, I'll trust him. David said, although it be not so with my house, God made with me a covenant. That's all my salvation. I trust him. Faith, thirdly, is to rest. Tells us that in Hebrews 4. I want you to look at this, and I'll close with this, to rest. It's to believe God, his word written, his word incarnate. It's to believe it. I believe, therefore have I spoken. It's to trust him. And thirdly, it's to rest. It says in here that it's not the rest, the typical rest, as God rested after he made the earth, nor the Sabbath rest given to the Jews, nor Canaan the rest, or any earthly state. It's a spiritual rest. Verse 10, chapter 4. He that's entered into his rest, he has ceased from his own works as God did from his. God ceased from his works and rested the seventh day. Our Lord Jesus Christ finished his work of redemption and sat down at the right hand of God. Now look at verse 11. Let us labor. The word is not work, it's labor, it's endeavor, strive to enter into that rest, to cease from our doings and duties and deeds and just enter Christ's rest and trust him. Lest labor to enter into that rest, the rest of Christ, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Believe God. Trust him. Leave it in his hands and rest. Don't let anybody disturb your rest. Shake you out of your rest in Christ by telling you you hadn't done enough. You hadn't given enough. You hadn't prayed enough. You're not happy enough. He's done enough. And I'm complete in him.